Welcome back to KYTL. I know you've missed us. We've missed you. It's been a while.
So long.
It's been way too long. Roger and I have been moving and grooving. It is the start of a new year, new semester. I am at Disney World. So hello to Sebastian, everyone.
Hello, Sebastian.
For our viewers at home. So it's kind of been a couple crazy weeks, but we're back. We're here.
Yep.
And we're talking about Survivor again.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in the second best place besides Disney World, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Woohoo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ann Arbor is the place to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, we are coming off of a national championship. I do think that is important to talk about.
I mean, I let everyone know that I meet here. Oh, yes. I go to the University of Michigan.
Oh, you have to.
And when they go, big win last week, I go, mm-hmm.
I go, yeah.
Also a big Lions fan.
Ooh, that part is, we didn't need to talk about that.
anyway.
You guys, that was kind of close against the Rams.
I mean, the Rams are good. They won a Super Bowl.
But 2 years ago, you could say most teams have won a Super Bowl before, unless it was last year.
You can't do that about the Lions.
That's true.
But, you know, this is our year.
The Packers beg to differ, but we'll see about that.
Have fun with the 49ers.
We just beat the fucking Cowboys at home, or at home for the Cowboys, and slaughtered them.
Yeah, but they're kind of frauds.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, obviously you guys should have won, but, like, it was a one-point game against them.
Okay, I'm done talking about that.
Anyways, we also beat... just to claim it, we did beat the Rams by a lot, too. So, like, just saying. Anyways. Welcome to KYTL.
Welcome to KYTL. Let's get into it. Episode 5. Banger of an episode.
Honestly, probably my favorite episode so far. Like, I think it just, like, everything felt very, like, put together. It was very, like, I mean, it was not a long episode, but it still felt, like, condensed.
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, kind of expecting, there was a lot of content that we got before the challenge. Because I feel like there's just, like, a lot of moving pieces right now with three tribes. Mm-hmm. And once the challenge started, which is a scavenger hunt, which we'll get into later, I was like kind of expecting like maybe a really long challenge montage. But it was about like 10 minutes long. And then we had like a good 20, 25 minutes of like pure strategy, which was really interesting because tribal gets really good and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
It was really good.
No, I was very, because like going into the episode, I was like, I'm very worried, honestly, no matter what tribe loses, like, it feels like it was going to be an obvious boot, no matter what. I mean, you have a very clear 3-2 on New Obsidian, a very clear, like, 4-1 on New Sokka, a very, very, very clear, like, 4-1 on Kopaka. So it was like, obviously, there definitely are, like, they were things that like definitely could happen, but I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I think like despite the boot of this episode, it was a very good episode still.
Yeah. I loved it.
So good. I definitely my favorite one so far.
Yeah, like these new tribes, like all are just, even though it seems like there are obvious boots, like these players go through every single scenario, and it's like, I mean, George did a really good job with this episode. Like, genuinely, I was not sure who was going home.
No. Well, yeah.
But sort of starting off the episode, I mean, we begin with Noah just sort of talking about like the four that they have of Noah, Grace, Lindsay, and Tejas.
Yes.
Which is super solid. And
he's like, why do anything else? I have four or three people that have voted with me, basically every single tribal. Like, why do anything to lose that? And I mean, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, I like think he's so it, like he's doing it really
right.
Good.
His only my only worry for Noah is that like he's playing too good and people are gonna see it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to not like hide under the radar anymore with these small tribes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of things can come to the surface a lot easier.
Yeah. And well, I mean, on the topic of this 4% alliance, I think if we're going to talk about Noah, we have to talk about Grace as well. I think it's not like Noah's on the top of that. I really think like there's an argument for either of them kind mm-hmm. of being up there. I mean, yes, Noah has the idol, but like Grace has the knowledge of that idol. And honestly, I think you could say Grace is in a better spot.
She is. I mean,
like, as besides not having the idol, like, I'd say, like, I yeah. think she's like going to be perceived not as a bigger threat, but like, I'd be scared of Grace if I played with her.
Yeah. I mean, and it's easy for us to say, sit here on the outside and, like, you know, be like, oh my gosh, Grace is so scary because we know everything Grace is doing. But I feel like she's really good at playing like inconspicuous. Like she's not playing dumb in the sense that like she's not like making herself perceived as like someone who doesn't have a lot of information.
Right.
But her energy is like so mellow that it's like it's easy to trust her.
Mm-hmm. No, because like people know she's smart. And mm-hmm. it's not that they don't see her as a gamer, but they see her as a gamer that's gonna work with them. Mm-hmm. And not one that's going to betray like them in the end game. And yeah. I think that's what Grace is so good at, is like her perception is good enough to the point where like she's gonna have a good like run through at the end. But are people ever gonna go after her? I don't know. Whereas Noah is like this rolling snowball where like I think he's just getting a bigger and bigger target, especially with this kind of like, I think all these producers that, like, we'll get to it, but, like, it feels like they're really trying to go at it. And I think, like, I don't know. I'm a little scared that he's going to get one of the first blows.
Yeah. I kind of have that fear, too. Like, just as a viewer, Noah is such a big threat. He's got a close duo with Grace. He's in this majority alliance with Lindsay and Tejas as well. And he's got the idol. It's just like, he's got a lot in his hands right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. On a complete side note, in that confessional that Noah did, he was just wearing a sorting hat.
That's fun. I've not seen Harry Potter, so I don't really know much about that other than it's from Harry Potter.
So goofy. I was just like, taking my little notes, and then I looked over and Noah's just wearing the sorting hat. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
go off, King.
Yeah. Okay. So after we get that segment from Noah, we kind of get some insight onto why Mason was targeted over Justin. Sounds like Mason was kind of telling people that he was like targeted at the last tribal, but it mm-hmm. wasn't him. He was on the bottom of the tribe. Taylor talked to Noah. Talked to everyone else and kind of said no, that's just like not yeah. right. Makes Mason look like he's lying. Mason's, you know, easy target from that point on.
Yeah.
And like Mason wasn't really wrong. Like he kind of was like the backup target on the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, he was like the original name thrown out there. And I think Anne just had to take the bullet because she was like, all girls alliance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like that was the original name that they wanted to put out there was Mason. I think what didn't help Mason is that he kind of underplayed his knowledge of the game, but then talked strategy as if he knows a lot about the game.
Which yeah.
sort of just makes yourself look like kind of like, wait, I feel like you know more about this than you've been telling me.
Yeah, I know. It comes off so sketchy.
It's so sketchy. And it's like, it's not a lie per se, but it's just like you're underplaying the truth. And then it's just like, I don't trust what you're telling
me. Yeah, exactly. And then after that, we get a segment from Justin, and we get kind of his perspective. He does still kind of feel on the bottom, but he's trying to solidify things. He has his thing with Tejas because he knows Tejas like somewhat okay, and he's also, it sounds like he's trying to work with Grace still, and his main like kind of strategy is to like say, oh, Ian and Noah are like super duper close, and like basically trying to undermine them with Tejas being like, hey, like Noah's a producer, like did he tell you that right away? And Tejas is like, no. And like honestly, Justin, I don't know if it really worked, but like Justin is doing as good of a job as he can. He's in a like situation where like he's the only person in the minority, and they're probably gonna merge soon, so it's like if their tribe loses like one more challenge, like it's fine to get rid of him for every other person, and Justin is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he got screwed over by this swap.
Yeah, so screwed over. Not as screwed over as Mason.
So fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope everything will work out for the best for him. Because I remember, like, at the beginning of the season, I mean, obviously what you say at the beginning of the season versus how you are in the middle, he's like, I'm not making friends. Like, I'm here to cut everyone's throats. And now Justin is, like, fighting for his life. And it's just, yeah, like,
it's like, I know you want to come in with such a, like, cutthroat attitude, but the moment you put in the hot seat, it's like you don't even have the opportunity to do that. You just have to save your own life.
Yeah.
And it sucks to be put in that position, so, like, especially with Justin. Like, he just lost his closest ally and now is on the bottom. And it's just, like, it sucks. But, like, at least he hasn't given up. And it's not, like, Grace says, like, later on, like, she does really like Justin and is glad she doesn't have to vote him off. Sounds like he's doing as good of a job as he can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think creating a relationship with Tejas, really good, as we said. Sort of talking in circles now, but
yeah, I think we can move on to Obsidian. We get a segment mostly like George centered, I think, but it was a good segment nonetheless. You know, love to see George.
Oh yeah, George, like, this is off topic, but I feel like George, he's very good at like enunciating himself, which almost like makes him look like a cartoon character. But I love it. Like, it makes him so entertaining. And I'm like, I just want to keep watching. Like, where's more George content?
I mean, well, ask George, I guess. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, love George. Every time I see George, I like, have just, like, a little, like, asterisk by it. Because I'm like, well, George put this in here. So, like... But, like, I think we did a really good job of, like, seeing... This episode did a good job of like portraying George and everything that like happened. I think like I was happy with the amount of George content we got. George isn't like putting himself in everywhere. Like, it's not the George show.
Yeah. But also, like, even if George wasn't editing this season, he's a major player in this game just because of
I mean, he has to be. He's coming in as the former host. Like, there's going to be a target on your back, and there's going to be like people like surrounding you in many different ways, and I think like there's no way to avoid that. And I think just also the personality of George is like, he very clearly wants to be manipulating people like in a survivory way.
Yeah.
And like, it's so fun to watch him do that. But okay, we can talk about what he actually talks about. So like, he likes his tribe pretty much. Like, he's really happy that he's with Jack, but more happy that he's distance away from Katie and can kind of avoid maybe like suspicions that they are close or, you know, dating. And I think, you know, looking from the outside in, like, George is in such a good spot. He has a really close ally and someone like T-Rex who, while like maybe unpredictable, like doesn't know a lot about Survivor and like probably is going to be loyal.
Yeah. T-Rex, I mean, especially like at the beginning of this, it's like he's such an unknown because he hasn't really talked to anyone and hasn't been in the hot seat. So it's like, you don't even know where his loyalties lie or like how he's going to play at all.
Yeah. And I think George is very aware of that. He really sees T-Rex as a wild card and he doesn't want to take for granted that, like, oh, T-Rex is Obsidian. Like, he's going to vote with us.
Yeah.
And he immediately is like, okay, I'm going to talk to Emily.
Yep.
And it works. It seems to work super well. He, like, throughout this episode, we see this George Emily like partnership kind of arise, and I really appreciate it.
I love the George Emily duo.
Mm-hmm. It's like, so fun.
It is so fun, and it's like, yes, like finally, like a winning story for Emily, and I'm just like it makes me want to root for her more. Because it's like her last two episodes, it was very much like, oh my gosh, like I'm in the hot seat. I need to like start talking to people. And now it's more so of like, she's building relationships that she's able to use and sort of like lean into for strategy, which has been really cool to see over the last couple of episodes.
Yeah. I was really feeling that like T-Rex, Luke, and Emily were kind of like the most likely people to like be in the pre-merge. And obviously, you know, Luke goes home this episode.
Yeah.
But I think after this episode, I kind of think Emily is going to make merge, and I'm really excited about that. She's was put in a tough spot. Obviously, like, it didn't help that she didn't talk to anyone, but once she started talking to people, it didn't really help that much. And I think she realized that and is willing to admit that she fucked up and start anew. And I think George is a great person to do that. He has so many ins that I think Emily will... She seems to be learning the game as she goes on, which is my favorite type of game to watch. And I really hope that Emily is able to like get in with George and then cut him later. That's what I want to happen.
That would be... insane. Like, that would be
like the teacher become or the student becomes the master type situation. It would be awesome.
Yes, I would love it. And also, George is like a meat shield for her, which I don't know if she recognizes, but that also just is so helpful.
Now, it does sound like at least at the start of this episode, Emily doesn't really want to go for Luke. She understands that, like, you know, it might be good for them to stick together and go for someone like T-Rex, which honestly I think is her best move. I mean, she like, obviously Emily and Luke haven't always agreed on everything, but they were kind of on the bottom together, and it makes sense for them to try to stick together, especially like with someone like T-Rex. If I'm George and Jack, I'm a little scared to leave him in this game because he's a wild card. He really could do anything. And I think for Emily and Luke, like the pitch of like, hey, let's vote T-Rex off. He's a wild card. Let's just get that out of there. Makes a little sense, especially if Emily's going to George and Jack and being like, hey, I'm going to work with you after this. Realistically, then Emily's in the best spot in the game or on that tribe.
Oh yeah. And like, I understand the fear of an idol from T-Rex because he like just kind of like got that idol clue and then told no one about it.
No, it so makes sense for him to have the idol clue.
Yeah.
I'm like, the idol.
Yeah. If I was playing, I would be like, oh yeah, duh, T-Rex has the idol. But it's a hard spot because T-Rex is obviously the best move here, but
well, I mean, for Emily and Luke, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say for Emily, I think she does honestly make the best move. I feel like getting, maybe not the best move, but like the most practical move. I think getting rid of T-Rex is a good move if somehow you can pull it off. But like being able to convince George and Duck to do that.
It'd be tough. Is
tough. Obviously, with Noah coming to Tribal, it could make it easier, but like risking rocks at this point is like
not worth it.
In that specific situation, I get why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. We can also talk more about that later, but we also get some Kopaka and Ian sort of like understands where he's at in this tribe. Like,
yeah.
He knows he's the obvious out. And he's not gonna like try to hide it because it's impossible to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, dude, you can't. Like, it's a 4v1 minority and the like only guy, and it's Ian. Like, and it's Ian. Like there's some guys where like, okay, like it wouldn't really matter, but like it's Ian.
It's Ian Harris. Like,
it's Ian Harris.
It's what can you do?
Yeah.
But also Ian and Ellie were talking, and Ian was like baffled at the fact that Ellie told him that, oh yeah, you're pretty much gone if we lose.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't know why they told him that, because it's
I mean, there's a part of me that understands why you would do that.
Yeah.
But I think, like, that conversation can't happen until after you win or you lose. Like, I think you have to, like, hold out hope for them up to a certain point. And mm-hmm. if then that's when you want to be like, hey, I'm being honest, like, there's not a lot you can do right now.
Yeah.
Fine. Then, like, yeah. I get it. Doing it right away, bad idea. It's just gonna not look good on them, especially when no one else is doing that.
Yeah, and especially when, like, obvious vote seems obvious turns into, like, crazy mastermind of a plan that, like, gets flipped around. And then, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Talking strategy when you are on like a winning tribe, I understand the importance of it, but I feel like sometimes it just leads to chaos that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
But the other like Kopaka stuff that we get was with Taylor sort of like making this realization of like, oh my gosh, Katie and I are kind of in the middle of everything.
It was such a good segment. I love Taylor so much. It was, we got like all the strategy like from Taylor in the like least game body way possible. We have like Taylor just like getting distracted every 5 seconds, her being like, can I see my pupils or whatever she said. Like, I love Taylor so much, and it was just so funny to watch and so entertaining.
Fun, because she's so good at what she does and she's so smart about it. Mm-hmm. But it's not in like a way that is like game body, I guess.
No, she's like goofy, but not in a way that people aren't gonna take her seriously, which I think mm-hmm. is like a really tough thing to balance. Like, some people can come into the game with a really like silly personality, but they just kind of get like swept under the rug. Oh, they're just a goofy person. Like, I can't strategize with them because they're not serious.
Yeah.
But Taylor does a good job of like being able to come off that way, but still like having agency in the game. Like, clearly all of her allies trust her, and I don't think she's seen as like just like one of the people like on the like in the Alliance. Like, she is a part of the Alliance.
Totally. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And she like makes this little diagram, and she's like pointing all the alliances, like boom, 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 boom. And she like ultimately comes to this realization of like, I can't bring Katie to the end because Katie, like, we have such a similar game, and it's like, who's going to be able to take credit for moves and like
exactly
those relationships if you all have the same ones. And it was really shocking, like, compared to like what we were just being like between Ellie and Ian of like, oh yeah, Ian's pretty much done, to like, we could see Kopaka shake up like crazy if they mm-hmm. had
to. Yeah, last podcast I definitely said I did not want Kopaka to lose, and I'll say that's still true, but with the caveat that like, because I don't want any of them to go home.
No, I don't. I love like, them all.
I want to see what is gonna happen. I just want to see chaos happen. I feel like Ian is going to do something insane. And I almost feel like it's going to work, but not the way Ian intends. I feel like it's going to, like, blow up. Everyone's mad at Ian. and then something else is gonna happen, and Ian's gonna take so much credit for it, and it like wasn't even his plan. That's my prediction.
That seems like a good prediction. That would be so on brand. Yeah, I mean, that's all I have before the challenge starts.
Yeah, that's all I have too.
So next part is like the challenge, we all know. It is a Survivor Michigan classic, the scavenger hunt. And it's a fun challenge. You get to see all the wacky stuff that the contestants have to do. My personal favorite task was the vine recreations.
Yes, that was one of I wrote down four different ones that I like thought were fun to mention, and that was the best one, especially like I liked whoever Lindsay's and who else did it, was it Katie? I think so.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, these are really cute, these are fun. And then George came on, I was like, damn, like he recreated them like to a T.
Part of me, like, I want to believe that he did them during, like, some of those he did do during the challenge, but like
he had those pre, like,
already part of done. Me is also like, what if he was just editing and was like, we need more Vine recreations?
Oh, you're saying he put them in like after the,
because there were so many of
you're George. So I feel like you're so right. I was thinking like, the opposite. I was thinking like before the season he had these like already made. He was living his Vine celebrity like era, recreating all these vines. Like they were like super well edited, super crisp.
They were so good.
Yeah.
Like the one that was like, what up, I'm Jared, I'm 19, and I never fucking learned how to read.
I guess my question, like, you're so right, because I feel like there's no way like he was like editing all those and submitting them as the challenge submission. Like
there's no way.
He
right?
definitely was like, oh, I'll put in Katie's and Lindsay's and then I'll make mine like super amazing. Even if he had like, I think it's possible that he like filmed those, but like I don't think he like edited them and then submitted. I don't know. We'll have to ask George when we get to interview him.
Yeah, that is a question we need to ask. Another challenge that I thought was really funny was the write the like one page essay about why you love production.
And it was Ian Harris
during that.
Yes, Cooper did have a cameo.
Yes, Cooper.
I feel like you're gonna see so much Cooper. Like he lives with Ian, right? Like
he does. Yeah.
It's hard to avoid Cooper.
Oh, Cooper. What were some of the ones you had written down?
So I wrote four. One of them was the vines. One of them was the protest on the diet. Actually, two of them were protests on the diet. One of them was the should dogs get a right to vote or should cats get a right to vote? I thought that was really funny. I didn't like either of their posters. I thought George's was better, but like you could only see the word dog and then nothing else you could see.
It's a dog's vote. That's right. All
and I was like, I can't read the rest. But was it Lindsay?
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay had like a piece of paper. And I was like, I also can't read what that says.
I had no idea what she was protesting until it was like brought all the way up to camera.
Yeah.
And
he was like, I like how the person that came up was like, he had an answer immediately. He was like, yeah, cats should be able to vote. And George was pissed.
Mm-hmm. And then Noah did the Krusty Krab is unfair.
Yep. I thought that was really, it was like, and he had it all memorized. I was like, king. But my question of the day is, should dogs get a right to vote or cats get a right to vote? I feel like that has to be it.
Ooh.
I'm personally, this is tough. If I'm basing it on the posters, I'm team dog.
Oh yeah. Like,
if I go up and I see George and Lindsay on the diag, I'm picking George.
Yeah. I mean, there was more effort put into the poster.
Right. Mm-hmm. It could have been way better. He was like bragging about his typography. Like maybe use a marker on the whole thing.
Honestly though, like I feel like I'm team cats. I just feel like they're so intelligent that's like they would pick a good president.
Mm-hmm. My question is, cats are kind of lazy. Are they gonna even get up to do anything?
I mean, that's so true. Garfield does hate Mondays.
I don't know. Dogs can be pretty smart, too.
That's true.
And you can't underestimate dogs. I know
they can be an little... argument for both.
I agree. I'm team dog, but I'll respect your cat opinion.
Yeah, I respect your opinion too. I think this is the first thing we've ever disagreed on, but like respect the other person's opinion.
100%. Like we've already argued like 4 times in this podcast, but like we can respectfully agree to disagree on this one issue. And I'm happy for that.
I'm proud of us.
I'm so proud.
The other one
I wrote down, it wasn't like necessarily the thing itself. It was just the fact that he did anything. We got a T-Rex doing stuff.
Yes.
We got like a decent amount of T-Rex in this episode. Like he was talking to people. He was doing the scavenger hunt. Like,
T-Rex.
Like honestly, he probably did more than like George did and Jack. But I specifically wrote down T-Rex rock because he painted the rock. Like that sounded like, I don't know how much he painted it. Like it doesn't sound like he painted it that much, but like he was up, he did it. Good for T-Rex.
I know, that was so fun.
Any others that you did or that you liked?
Not really. The only one I mean, because it was the thumbnail too, is just Luke with the Mentos and Coke. Okay. after that we sort of got like a segment of like George and Jack talking about the challenge. Was that before Brady announced the challenge winners or?
Yeah, I like the way they did it. I like how we saw everyone doing all the challenges and then we get the big like, oh yeah, no, we threw the challenge.
Yeah.
Because we see George doing stuff. Like, it doesn't, like, really... It wasn't like, oh, like, obviously they're throwing the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the scavenger hunt challenge, it makes sense. Like, out of any challenge, if you're to throw, that's probably the one to do. Because the point totals aren't released. No one's going to really know that, like, you specifically threw it. It's tough. Like, I mean, obviously, if you're on a 5-person drive, like, people are going to, like, figure it out probably.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, it makes sense to do it. If you think you have an easy boot, then might as well go ahead. I do think with T-Rex on the drive, a little risky. I don't know if I personally would have done that. Like, I don't think I could throw a challenge with T-Rex on my tribe. But I definitely, like, see where they're coming from.
Yeah. No, this is, like, yeah, what you're saying. I'll just, like, back it up. Great challenge to throw. But... they also were like, I know they wanted to throw this challenge to get Luke out. I understood that reasoning. Mm-hmm. But they also were like talking about how they don't even want to bring T-Rex into this plan because they just do not trust him.
I mean, in a perfect world, if you can replace T-Rex with Emily, awesome.
Yeah.
Like I see that because Emily is going to be She's not only going to be loyal to you because you like saved her, she's going to be against everyone else and like probably more so than T-Rex, who he's not with the other tribe, but he also had George says he hasn't talked to T-Rex until this vote.
Yeah.
And he already likes Emily more. So I definitely like see why that could be like a thing they could do, but yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, Sokka won their first challenge.
Yay.
So proud of them.
Sokka and Kopaka. I also just realized they kind of rhyme. Like, they both have A-K-K-A. Sokka and Kopaka. Actually, is that how you spell Kopaka, or did I just spell it the same way as Sokka?
I spell it K-O-P-A-K-A.
Oh, I spelled it K-O-P-A-K-K-A.
Oh, okay.
Sokka and Kopaka. It makes sense. They both, because Sokka is with 2 Ks, right?
Yeah.
I spelled them the same way, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we get Sokka and Kopaka as the winners. We get a little from each. Like, really not a lot from new Sokka. I think it's very clear cut. Like, Justin's probably going if they lost.
Yeah.
Grace is happy that they didn't lose, so they didn't have to vote Justin off. And like Grace shows her tattoo. Like that's literally all we get from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And The other, I guess, is like difference maker for the week is Noah.
Oh, yes. So, okay, like, so this, because when I saw this, I couldn't tell if the difference maker was going to be public or not. And, like, I mean, it makes sense because they've all been public.
Yeah.
But this challenge, so you had to build, like, a three-story card tower. It sounds like it was a very, like, loose interpretation of what a three-story tower was, because people were doing so many different things. Yeah. I saw, like, was Noah the one who had, like, pre-bent cards or something? I was like, these don't look like playing cards.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know. Because some people were stacking them like how I would have thought, like a card tower, like little triangles, mm-hmm. and then little flat pieces, and then little triangles.
Yeah, because that's, in my mind, that's like the first thing I would do. But then, like, if you can bend cards, you just like bend a card, boom. Like, that's a three-story card tower.
Yeah, you go blah, blah, blah. Like, it takes 5 seconds.
Right.
I don't know.
But yeah, Noah gets...
difference maker thing this week, we're gonna have to like talk it through because it kind of confused me. Like, I think I understand it.
Okay, I also think I understand it, so let's make sure we both understand it, because okay. If we imagine we accidentally say the wrong thing and we convince like the entire Survivor Michigan like fan base that it's one thing and that it like is just not that at all, it'd be so funny.
Yeah, that would be something.
But so the easy part is Noah gets to go to the tribal council. He's safe. He votes. Basically, same thing as Ellie. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You know, that's the public thing that mm-hmm. everyone is seeing. The yep. thing they're not seeing is that he gets I guess they called it like a legacy half idol, basically.
Yeah.
Right now, he has half an idol. Like, that's his. That's what he gets for being the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is going to be given to someone by the person that is voted out at this tribal council.
Yes.
It sounds like Noah will know who gets that, I think.
Yeah, that was unclear. Like, he sort of was like, I think we'll know.
Because it sounded like Grace asked him, and he said, like, yes, we'll know. And Grace was like, okay, that's not an issue. That's how I interpreted it, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Okay, I feel like that makes sense for him to know, because, like, if you need to like
work, it would just be like not impossible, but it would be like kind of difficult, especially if it's some random person like T-Rex. If T-Rex goes, who is he giving it to? I have no idea. Then it's a legacy idol that's like gone in the game,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way to like really figure it out unless like the half idol was like, instead of it being an idol, if it was like, if they were this is a fun idea, if they were both like a hat, the same hat, but like two different hats. So then you could like wear the hat and then you see someone else wearing the hat and you're like, oh,
like the phrase from Survivor 41.
Yeah, but like in hat form. Actually, this is low key a good idea. Write this down.
Jeff, goats run really fast.
Mm.
I don't know if that's what they said, but I remember one of their phrases was about goats.
That's, yeah, I think it was a goat confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
That was it.
I only remember that because it was my boy Nasir. I love Nasir. King, bring him back for All Stars.
Bring him back for Survivor Michigan.
Dude, he follows me on Instagram. It's the only Survivor player that follows me is Nasir.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't know why. I like, because I followed him and he followed me back, and then I told my friends and then they all followed him and then he followed them back. But like, he doesn't follow that many people. Like, I think he stopped after a certain point.
Oh, okay. Like, I wonder if like in the beginning he's like, I'm gonna follow all my fans, and then he got too many fans.
Probably. That's my guess. I haven't checked if he still follows me recently, so I don't know. But he kind of like
for that.
Yeah.
Slay.
Okay, so yeah, after Sokka, or I guess that's, did we talk about everything about the legacy? Oh,
is that the legacy idol like becomes active at final 10?
Yes, if you put the two halves together,
mm-hmm.
which I think is cool. I love half idols. I think they're a really fun thing to mess with, and
yeah.
it definitely makes you put trust in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and it's not like it makes you work for an idol and not just like, oh, I found it. And that's what I like about it. There's like a social aspect that's not like, oh, I'm safe 1 week because I found a little trinket in a bush.
Yeah, so true. It's really, it's a fun time. And I think Noah getting it is just like another like piece to the pie of like him being like this like social like tornado that's gonna come through.
Exactly. I mean, this was like what I was gonna talk about next, but like we get a Kopaka segment, kind of Ian-centric, which I feel like most of them are Ian-centric because he is like, I mean, like, what else is there to talk about?
It's like Ian.
He's Ian and on this tribe. Like, it just makes sense. But Ian is basically like, dang, like, Noah got the difference maker. That's putting another target on his back. Like, which, again, really valid. Like, I'm seeing, like, Noah's, like, he was in such a solid alliance on his tribe. He stuck with that solid alliance on his tribe.
Yep.
And now he has a difference maker. We don't know what he got. And like he could have something else he does. Like,
yeah.
They have Ian and Katie are, or wait, maybe not Katie, but Ian is definitely like worried about Noah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting because like people like Justin are telling people that Ian and Noah are close.
Yeah, which is so interesting. It's like I don't know if you would want to be associated with Noah, like if that's, because I'm trying to imagine like if you're not like on a tribe with Noah and someone comes up is like, yeah, like me and Noah are tight, I would like either be like, I would probably be skeptical. Yeah, I would be skeptical of Justin at that point. Like, why are you so tight with Noah? He's such a big threat. Yeah. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, so Ian and Katie are both sus of Noah. But we start, I kind of went ahead. We start this segment with Ian is like talking to Ellie and he tells Ellie this plan to like somehow get the old Sokka idol from them. Don't really get how, but he's like, oh, I'll convince them. And then he's gonna get the votes on him, and him and Ellie are gonna like vote one of Taylor, Kitty, and Lindsay out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, first of all, it's a ridiculous plan because like he has to get the idol, but and like why would he tell Ellie this? Like, obviously Ellie doesn't want to keep him.
Yeah.
Like
she already told him that he was going home if they lost.
So I don't get the point of this. Like, I totally get coming up with like fake plans because it sounds like he's maybe trying to hide his relationship with Katie and like Taylor, maybe. But like, it just seems unnecessary. And like, I'm assuming that he told Katie and Taylor and maybe Lindsay that he was gonna do this, because if that gets around that he's saying that, like, I'm not going to want to work with Ian if I'm Taylor, Lindsay, or Katie. Even if I'm Katie, like, I'm like, damn, like, he's throwing my name out there in some capacity. He could have an idol, like.
Yeah.
But I did think it was funny.
Yeah. I wrote Ian was coming up with trickery. And I was,
yeah.
He's goofy for that. But that's how Ian does Ian.
Mm-hmm. But then we see Ian talking with Katie, and they immediately are like, yeah, we're kind of sus of Ellie. Like, we know they have something from the difference maker. They say they don't. That's a lie. Technically, they're right. But unfortunately, the love letter just didn't get to come into play. And, like they're right that Ellie had something. They just don't have it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a bummer. But Katie has become suspicious of Ian with his knowledge about her and George.
Yes, and like I get, like, that makes sense. Like, it sounds like Ian, I can't tell if Ian is purposely trying to hint that like he knows, or if it's just like accidental, or it could just be Katie like being paranoid that he knows and accidentally coming to that conclusion. But yeah, I don't know. But I mean, she is.
Roger lag.
Sorry, I took my earbuds out, putting my charger in. We're at 8%.
Lovely.
Now I'm raw dogging. No earbuds. Everybody can hear me in my house. That's okay. my roommates can listen to me talk about Survivor.
They do all the time.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Oh yes, Katie becoming paranoid about Ian.
Yes.
Yeah, I think her own like paranoia of it getting out could be a bigger problem of her spilling the beans herself rather than trying to get Ian to do it.
Yeah, that could be it. And like, it's smart. Like, honestly, if I'm Katie and I think Ian knows anything, excuse me, my plan is to like get Ian to tell me so I at least know he knows rather than let Ian blow up, because I think of all people, Katie knows that Ian is probably going to want to blow this up somehow.
Yeah.
So I think it's smart for Katie to try to like suss things out and see if Ian does know. And like, yeah. If I'm Katie, like, especially if I think Ian does know, I low-key might want to get Ian out. But I also would worry, like, if I vote Ian out, is Ian just going to be like, George and Katie are dating, and leave? Like, that would suck.
That would suck.
But, like, also, like, it could be good because then you have that, like, you have Ian out of the game and you can kind of be like, oh, he just said that, like, that was just something he's trying to put a target on my back because I voted him out and we were friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough spot. I don't know what I would do.
No, like, yeah, Katie's just in a tough spot. Hopefully, like she's in a good spot still. Like, she just has this like potential like target of her and George kind of looming over her and George. But like, it just depends on what happens at the end, and I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we don't really. Then it's kind of mostly up into New Obsidian.
Yeah, I think like this was a pretty complicated tribal, but like, it wasn't like that complicated. I feel like there are like a couple constants like throughout.
Yeah, I mean, New Obsidian's going to tribal. The main two names are Luke and Jack.
Right, and like George and Jack seem to be pretty set on getting Luke out. Doesn't sound like they entertain getting T-Rex out like at all.
No. It doesn't make sense for them to vote out T-Rex. Like, mm-hmm. if they have the majority to vote out, like, an old Sokka member, it makes more sense for them to do that.
And on the other side, you have Luke and Emily and Noah. We start getting, like, probably early on, Luke and Noah seem to be targeting Jack.
Yeah.
And Noah seems to, we're not really sure where Noah is leaning. First, we see him talking with Luke, and it's basically like, hey, we should vote Jack with Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case, if we think it's going to be a tie, we do Emily as a backup instead. They'll do Emily. And what I find really interesting about this vote is like, Noah has the perfect chance to just get revenge on Luke. Like, Luke tried to vote him off and backfired. And Noah comes in, like, he is considering voting Luke, for sure. But it honestly doesn't sound like he really, like, considered it. Or if he did, it wasn't for, like, a revenge reason. It was, like, purely out of, like, numbers.
Yeah. Which makes it interesting, because if I'm thinking about that, it, like, to me, that shows that Noah's not a very emotional player. Like, he's very much playing, where are the numbers? Like, where are my alliances?
Right. And, like, he's thinking way ahead. He is scared of George, and he knows Jack is going to be with George for a while.
Yeah.
Why not take a shot right now? You have the excuse of, oh, I was just trying to save my old tribe members, like, and I didn't target you, George, so it's fine.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's essentially what he tries to do. He, like, they have a talk, but, like, they're not going after each other, obviously. But are they really working together? Like,
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does not seem like they're working together. obviously they don't vote together.
Yeah.
And
no, but they do have a conversation we can talk about later.
Yeah.
But it is like, okay, like it's a very open and honest, like, okay, I'm voting for this person, you're voting for the other person. Let's just see who else votes for who and mm-hmm. like let the numbers fall where they do. Which honestly is I know it can be a controversial take, but like sometimes I think that is the right thing to do. Just kind of like put it out in the open and be like, hey, like, let's be honest with each other. We know we're not voting each other out.
Yeah.
Obviously we're not on the same side. Let's not bullshit each other. And so maybe next vote we can actually like agree on something.
Yeah. And honestly, I really like that because the conversations where you kind of just beat around the bush are...
You know when it's like not a good vibe.
Yeah.
And like, if you're beating around the bush too much, it's like, it doesn't matter if they're voting with you or not. Like, you're mm-hmm. not going to trust them. I think I'd rather, like, know that someone is not voting with me than talk with someone that is voting with me that just beats around the bush and doesn't really say anything.
Yeah, I completely agree. It just makes for a more easy conversation. And then it's like both of you know where everything is. And especially for, like, even though this vote was so back and forth, it just allowed for sort of the numbers to settle and everything shake out naturally.
One thing I forgot to mention. Sorry, my roommates are loud. But one thing I did want to mention is that I thought it was so funny when Jack and George kind of had this moment of like, oh, we shouldn't have thrown that challenge.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on them. Like, how are they supposed to know that this is gonna happen? Like, but I think it's part of the reason I really like this twist for the difference maker, because like it gave Sokka a chance in this tribal. Like, they were not done by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not like a boring tribal. Yes, Sokka still went home, but like it was the enemy of Luke that tried to save him, and it ended up being Emily that like ends up being a deciding vote.
Which was so interesting. I was like, yes, Emily, like, use your power, girl.
But like with Noah coming in, I think like I don't think George was like George and Jack, I don't think they knew exactly what Noah was gonna do. George might have been hoping that he was going to be able to, like, work with him. But, like, especially if he had found out that Noah had, like, been against Luke before.
Yeah.
That, like, feels like an easy in. But George and Jack both find out through Taylor that Noah is debating between Luke and Jack.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it shows that Noah and Taylor are, like, a pretty, like, we hear like mentions about them throughout, mm-hmm. but we haven't like really seen them together. But they do seem to be like a functioning, like, I don't want to say duo, because like Noah has Grace and Lindsay has her people, but like they do, there seems to be an open communication that I think hasn't been talked about that much like directly by Taylor or Noah, but clearly there's information being spread, and Taylor doesn't seem to care that much and is willing to tell George and Jack to save them.
Yeah. And it's so interesting how it's not like such widespread information that Taylor, obviously everyone knows Taylor and Noah have known each other before. Right. That's not like private information, but it's the fact that people like aren't scared by that.
Well, I think it's honestly because, I mean, clearly Taylor is telling people everything Noah says. So, like, why? Like, I don't need to be scared of them if Taylor is just going to tell me everything.
I guess clearly, you're right, yeah.
Clearly Taylor doesn't trust Noah that much if she's telling everything he says. Now, some people, like, might think, oh, maybe that's just a way for Taylor and Noah to hide the relationship and they are working together. We'll see if that becomes a thing or not.
Yeah, Very true. But I think it's so cool to see that flow of information, like how it all works and changes everything up.
Yeah. No, like, so the moment like Noah tells Taylor and Taylor tells Jack and George, we see George kind of like get into game mode. He's like, okay, like this is going to be a close vote. We don't have Noah as a lock. And if Noah's voting Jack, Luke is for sure voting Jack because we're voting him. That leaves Emily and T-Rex kind of in the middle.
Yeah. One person who's a complete wild card, and Emily, who cannot decide if she wants to stick with someone she knows or work with someone that she trusts more.
Right. And I mean, like, to sum it up, George does a really good job of making Emily trust him. And I think, like, I mean, there is like a decent amount of like a big segment before this, but like before Tribal, but like really Emily just trusts George enough to vote with him and vote Luke out. Like, I think that's pretty much the whole rest of the episode.
That pretty much like leads into Tribal, but there was like a moment at the very end where Jack, George, and T-Rex all finally met up at Ross, and Tejas walked up on them.
Yeah. And
like busted their convo, basically.
Yeah, which like I feel like isn't like the worst. I mean, like, because it makes sense that they'd be talking. They're all from the same tribe.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm Tejas and my girl, that makes sense. Checks out. But like, I guess, was George telling people that he was gonna vote T-Rex out?
I don't know. Oh,
I did write that down. I wrote George pretending he wants T-Rex out to Luke.
I feel like that makes sense, like, because obviously you're not going to tell Luke that you're voting for him.
Yeah. So I think from, like, George's perspective, he's panicked because he's like, oh, shit, like, Luke is going to find out that I'm after him because I'm clearly, like, talking to the people in my tribe and I'm talking to T-Rex, who I said I was going to vote out. But, like, I think Luke knows that George is probably lying.
Yeah. And he does eventually find out, like, because at the end, there's, like, a moment where, like, George is saying, like, oh, my God, Luke is scrambling, like, but nothing really comes out of it.
Yeah.
Overall, like, for, like, a very normal vote, I feel like everything that happened before was just so chaotic.
It was a chaotic episode, and really, like, I do think it could have been Jack. I think if Emily is like convinced that she doesn't need George, I think that's where Luke and Noah specifically went wrong, is like Emily doesn't trust either of them and clearly doesn't really see a future with Sokka. And I think Noah specifically just didn't do a good job convincing her that like they have her, they're not gonna turn on her. She didn't believe them. She'd rather work with George, who was like offering this new trust.
Yeah.
And I think for Emily, it's the better move. Vote out Luke, stick with George, who was like clearly going to protect you. Like, I do think if they go to Tribal again, T-Rex is going to go home. I don't think it's going to be Emily.
No, because I mean, for George, it's good because he gets another number. But for Emily, it's great because she can finally trust someone. Where exactly. Everyone on Sokka is like, the fact that like Noah just assumed that like Emily would work with him is like a little naive, because they like so many people have put votes on Emily. So why would she want to trust the tribe that has like made her the backup target week after week? And finally, someone from the other side is giving me like clear information. She picked the right move. Yeah.
Yeah, fully agree. And yeah, it sucked to see Luke go home. I thought he was a fun character. He was willing to make big moves. And I think like if we were to like just say like the mistake that like Luke made that kind of put him in this position, like, it was just going after Noah and Ian. I think, like, obviously he wanted to protect Abby and wanted to protect Stephanie, which totally makes sense. But going after Noah at that time was just like not a good move, and it ended up like blowing up in his face. And like,
yeah,
as much as I did like Noah, I mean, I did like Luke, I am glad that like he finally received punishment for doing that, because Stephanie and Abby already did, and like I really liked them. I was really annoyed that like they kind of got the blunt end of it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I love Luke. He was a fun character. But you know, I do think like I'm glad that it kind of caught up to him. Mostly for Abby. Like, justice for Abby.
Justice for Abby. Abby, shout out of the episode. We love you, Abby.
Yeah. Not daily, but like our weekly Abby shout out.
Oh, yeah. But I think his time came. Like, like you said, it felt like a natural vote out. And as much as like you want to make those big moves in the beginning, it's so much easier to make a big move once you've defined yourself in the game. And if you define yourself with like a game shattering move, you don't know how that's going to shake out, especially if it goes wrong.
Yeah, fully agree.
But yeah, this is T-Rex's first tribal council.
Oh, you're so right, because he didn't go to that. That's so funny.
That was
one. He showed up. You know, T-Rex is the star of the episode for me. Like, he showed up to tribal. He was talking to people.
He had good combos. T-Rex is like the master of being like, yeah, I don't know who I want to vote out. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
It's like Slay King.
Okay, I don't have anything else on this episode. Really good episode. Super fun. Excited to watch the next one because I have not watched it yet.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch the next episode too. I didn't have any notes on what's next on Survivor.
Didn't even watch it, not gonna lie. Mostly because I was planning on watching the episode like after this anyways.
Yeah. I don't know, but I am very excited. I don't think, okay, so how many people are left in the game at this point?
14? I cannot count. 14, I think 14. That sounds about right, because it's episode 6, 20-person cast. There was a two-boot episode somewhere.
Yeah, maybe 13 even, but I think it's too early for merge. I'm pretty sure Brady said that it was a double tribal.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember if one person's going home or two, but I guess we'll figure out.
Interesting. I guess we'll find out.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I need to think of my question.
Yeah, you don't have your... What's your question?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say it could be Disney related because you're in Disney. But...
I know I am at
Disney. But also, I feel like have any of your questions been Disney related? I feel like they have been.
Yeah, one of them was like, what's your favorite theme park? But that wasn't specifically Disney.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
My question is actually not Disney related this week.
Ooh.
And it for me, it's if you are a brand new, you're coming into the NFL, you're coming in a little late, and you're like, oh my gosh, like I've heard so much about these playoff games, like there's some big games coming up this weekend, but you don't know who to root for.
Right.
Like, are you picking a random team, or are you picking a team based off like a city you visited to? Because obviously, like, I have a very strong attachment to my Detroit Lions because I'm from the area and I have watched them my whole life.
See, I think what that person should do is listen to me and root for the teams that I root for, because I'm amazing and know the teams to root for.
Roger's a dirty, dirty Packers fan.
Packers. Am I from Wisconsin? No. Although I convinced Sophia that I was from Wisconsin for like a solid minute.
Yeah, it's easy to convince me of things.
It was so funny.
If you're not an NFL fan, who are you rooting for?
Yes, that's
to go to the Super Bowl.
Good question. And why?
Your options? Well, there's one correct option, and it's the Detroit Lions, of course. No. But your options are, we'll go NFC, is the 49ers and the Packers and the Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Or you have the Ravens and the
Chiefs.
The Ravens play
Texans.
Texans, which is CJ Stroud, boo, Ohio State. Fair, but he, you know, he's cooking. I'll let him cook.
I know. Like, I mean, I can't get mad at him. He's cooking.
Yeah. And then the Chiefs and the Bills.
Yeah.
If I wasn't a pre-established Lions fan, I probably would be rooting for the Bills because I love Josh Allen. But dang, yeah, those are your choices.
I think I would probably be a Ravens fan.
Lamar is cooking.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared of the Ravens. Honestly, it's the only team I'm like really scared of.
Yeah, we had to play. I mean, did the Packers play the Ravens this in the regular season? I'm sure they did because we had to play them.
I don't think so. I think it might have been one of those teams. Who did we play? The Packers played the Browns.
And
you guys played the Browns. So that was the division where like we each played like a team that was in the same like seed of last year or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, there's your little football talk for the day.
Yep.
Well, we will see you in the next episode. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, do all those fun little things.
Yep.
And don't forget to keep your
torch lit.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace.